If they're feeling something about something, I have to validate their feeling usually.
Yeah.
And they
Yeah.
might have some cognitive thing, except if the people around you are sick from the so-called safe treatment,
Yeah.
I can't say, oh, you just should put up with that because we're all doing it, which is what deGrasse Tyson was saying. Oh, you should just put up with that. That
Yeah,
was
he
really what he
said, I
was
just
saying.
found it. He said, you signed a public health contract.
Yeah, I know. And that, I mean,
Which
if you
is
want to go in,
phenomenal. I could have
no,
signed
no.
it. I didn't sign it.
That was an incredible thing. I forgot about that. Nobody signed anything, and there is a, I mean, there's an assumed social contract, except it's not, we don't have to look too far back in history where, like when Jung was talking about depotentialized people with totalitarian states, they emerge by themselves and they all have the same parameters when they happen. And so, because I remember when I was studying art, we made a film about because there was the whole terrorism thing. It was a new reason for looking into everybody's lives, and it was at the beginning of the internet. So it was like, oh, we can record everybody, everything's doing on the internet, whereas before it was free. And so the people who remember when it was free, there's some sort of depression that comes from that. Like the people who remember before 2020 and what that was like, they can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like there's a whole bunch of things that can't be done anymore. And so
Yeah.
there's a type of anxiety, type of depression that goes with that. And so the poor young people, what are they going to think? Like what sort of world, so the teenagers again, the adolescents,
Oh, and I think about,
they're the ones who are going to pay for all this.
little human
Like
beings who are just
like
going to
sudden.
go into a totalitarian future.
Well, not even that. It's like the amount of debt that's been created for them, which is a, so the young people, there's not as many young people as there were in the previous generations. So this, I think it's the baby boomers are still in charge, aren't they? So they've just docked up using the last 3 years as this way to just create billions of dollars of debt. Like when you look at the debt amounts increasing, it's really quite, and you look at the poor young people who are going to be taxed at 90 cents in the dollar to make it work. Because when the baby boomers retire all over the world, there's a lot of them, and they're just going retiring now. They're starting to retire, and they're a really big group of people all over
Yeah.
the world. So, and then there's this smaller group who have to pay for the debts that they just all made by their management. And I mean, that's just dollars and cents stuff. That's not even being whingy or anything. That's
No,
just
but
what happened.
it's going to really impact, we know that mental health is affected by money, potentially more than anything else. Like it's
The
one of
effect
the
of,
things.
right. It's one of the things because people are so, I mean, everybody's been so external coming into 2020, and that was already a problem. People aren't doing internal work, and so having that external status model they're using, because it's a status model. That's mainly, if you talk to people, they want the new thing, they want this, they want their kids to feel like they come from a rich family, and it's so they can get a nice Perth girlfriend, a boyfriend. It's all about this status thing.
Yeah.
And whatever's happened with this huge amounts of payments that they've just taken for the last 3 years, it's like, well, who's going to have any status anyway? Which is good for a personal development system where you can transition into more of a holistic life without worrying about that so much. Because who knows what? I mean, the kids are on the internet all the time, that's deep pension, and they're not experiencing as many roles as they could, which is
Yeah.
the only real problem with it, is that it's just role denying
And I did notice that on
stuff.
those rolls over there, can I just sort of go back there for a sec? You can see that? Yep. So on the rolls, what isn't there is things like, like these are all very one-on-one close, it's not like travel to 27 countries. It's not like, have a big car. It's not like, it's not those big
Oh,
external
but
things.
this is one person. Someone who's a traveler would be putting traveler in the social
But you
role.
know what I mean? Like this is
Right.
someone that whatever happens worldwide, this can still happen within someone's life. And
That's
because there's
right.
big rules going on worldwide with all sorts of shenanigans, then who knows, we might need to be quite insular if some rules end up getting passed over the
Well,
next few years. So it's nice to have a whole bunch of roles that allow us to be happy now, here, with me, with you, so things that we can actually do that don't require big external stuff.
I've got no problem with the external stuff. It's just that, over. So this is an antidote to a lot of things. It's an antidote to polarization. It's an antidote to, because when people just work all the time and don't do anything else, they end up with,
Oh, they just watch TV. They don't think. They drink too
right.
much.
And
They
so,
smoke too much. They watch too much TV. They don't think about, like hobbies and things. It
right.
just, you're so buggered by the end of the day, paying your bills, you don't have energy to do anything else. And this reminds us that we are more than just a 2D human.
They're also possibly a list of yeah, that's right, isn't it? Yeah, it's a holistic way of seeing things, but they're also all of these things because you've elected themselves. The other thing about all of this is it's all chosen by the client. A lot of personality and identity systems, when you see them laid out, they're prescribed. Like for example, I was reading one and it talked about identity, and the only thing it said identity was all about gender and sexuality. But
Right.
identity is the whole person. And there's different types of things like this that goal setters use and this and that. But this one has no leading questions really, because it's just an empty space that you put your own thing in, and they're all individual choices. So the client decides the roles, the client decides the numbers.
And
Right,
when
so it's
I did it a couple
all
of
them.
years ago, when I did it a couple of years ago, like I remember there was a lot of politics going on at the time, and I wanted to be more engaged in politics. My mum
Right.
said, well, there's no point just bitching about it, get involved. So I
Right.
got involved, and
And how did your numbers? How are your numbers now?
I haven't looked for ages. Yeah.
Oh,
But yeah,
okay.
no, but very interesting. And I am just keen to keep sharing information, love and light on the planet. That's my aim.
Nice. Well, that looks like it's all developing beautifully.
Yeah. Actually, it would be curious because I do think that at the time I was talking about doing a podcast and I was nowhere near it. It was still a glint in my eye, and now I've done like 73 or 74 or something.
Right.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I've
And
had some.
another thing that's potentially true is because the client names them all and roll. They're all potentially natural dopamine hits.
Yeah, right, okay.
And so with polarized behaviors or situations, what you're doing is you're neglecting your natural dopamine sources. And so an example of that that's really good is that someone who's a drug addict,
Yep.
like someone who's a proper drug addict, or who's without the stigmatization, someone who's unfortunately they've become addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
Often when that becomes a serious habit, they develop what's called a localized perspective, that all of those other goals that they used to get dopamine from, they no longer do. And not only that, if it's a very high, strong drug like amphetamine or cocaine, it actually makes them not able to experience natural dopamine things. Like, so they'll have to relearn. Like, for example, you get dopamine through affection and through love, through physical, through being out the sun, going out in nature. Because they just stay home all the time and all they're thinking about is getting that reward system satisfied, those getting drugs and doing them with the people who do it, all their contacts are about that. They stay home, they don't achieve progressive goals anymore, global goals, and they don't live according to their values. And so that's a similar thing to all other types of polarization, that the internet does this, that you're getting all your dopamine. So you're on the internet, you're getting your likes, and you see old people do it too. It's not just the teenagers. And it's just all over that. And then So not only is you get you got to keep going back to get your dopamine to watch more YouTube or whatever it is they're doing, or more likely, like Instagram or there's so many of them. It also means that they lose the appreciation for natural dopamine sources often.
Right.
So you can't even feel it. Do you know what I mean? Because if the way that dopamine works, they've worked out like gradual. There's baseline, and then say, I think one of the things I saw was chocolate's 50 over baseline, sex is like 100, nicotine's 150, marijuana's 200, and then like cocaine's 800, and something like ice is 2000. When
Wow.
you're getting a really strong regular dopamine hit, like a drug or the internet, it eclipses because I don't know what the internet does. I didn't finish reading the book on that, but. I'm still in that, but it eclipses the natural dopamine sources. So you don't even want to, you're getting all your dopamine from there, from the drug or the internet or the job or the political position, and all the others have become bleached because you're getting such a high dopamine hit from either the regular computer contact or like Anna Lemke, who wrote on behavioral addictions, her book was called Dopamine Nation. She was describing an addiction she got to romantic fiction. Remember when the 50 Shades of Grey and all that
Oh,
started coming? There's a lot of those types of books. And she said, and it was when she started listening to them or reading them at lunchtime between appointments, she realized she had a problem. And what they do is they make you not able to experience the, because a lot of things that you get dopamine, like going for a walk, you might only get this many above baseline. So why would you do that when you can just get, 150 baseline points just going on Insta, whatever the internet facilitator is? Dopamine, 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 dopamine. I'll go play outside. No, I can't. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, so the natural things become eclipsed because they're smaller amounts. And when you're getting used to getting bigger amounts, like a drug, it's like, well, so you got to relearn all the natural dopamine things. Because people who, they go in the bush, if you look where people get their dopamine from achieving goals, going into nature, there's a whole bunch of going for a walk in the afternoon. There's a lot of things that aren't on the internet or taking drugs or just working and watching TV.
And when
So
we,
it so we're kind of outlining our dopamine. The things that we want to achieve, and it's nice just looking at that.
it is. No, it's very cool.
Like
And
having all your roles, it's like having all the lights turned on.
And for people to, and like you say, it's your question. You are answering your own question. I am a playful person. I am a nature lover. I am a singer, guitar player. It's the things that obviously mean something to you. What am I missing? What would I like to be doing? If I have no interest in singer and guitar player, why would I put it there? But if it's there, then there's something, inside that makes us want to go there.
And another thing that can help with is stop therapist bias. Because there's types of empathy that are like, do you know what I mean? You just want to prove your theory on someone. Whereas this blocks that, it's like, sorry, it's actually all about you, right? Unless if I'm facilitating with someone, but I've made a self-help version so that you can do it by yourself, right? And then if you want them, and then if you want to prioritize or work with a problem role or things you'd normally do with a counselor or a coach anyway, you can just use this as a hey, look, this is what I want. Oh, right, okay, that's really clear, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, if I'm a counselor and I saw that, I'd go, well, that's really clear. And not only is it really clear, but it's also it's specific. Oh, I can't remember what I was going to say.
no, that's okay. But it is. I do think it's very clear, and I think it's that sort of thing that I was going to say, and we chatted about this before, but that frontal cortex. When it's not up and running, we can't consciously think. So if someone's really stuck in their survival, deep survival stuff, it can shut down that frontal cortex. So it's going to be hard for people to come up with words. You know, that's, they can't get there at that moment.
And that's what they, and so it gets, and that's why I've designed this as something so that you can work with clients, coaching them with these things, because it is hard. Because recently, when my wife and I were doing this, I redid my roles and I couldn't believe how hard it was sitting there doing it by myself. So we helped each other through it. It's really hard to do it by yourself. It's hard to reflect, think of all that stuff, and it's good to have a sounding board to talk about it when you're doing them, you know, and then prioritizing them. Like if you want to work on a specific problem, like you've got a problem, you might have an issue, or you might have a something you want to grow, or whichever one you want to work on, then counselors and coaches are trained exactly to do that. So it's providing the data so that it's easy when you've got that written down. If I'm a counselor, it's like, oh, I see what you want, and I see what you want to stay the same, and I see what you want to move, right? And I see what you want to go gradually at, and what's urgent for you. Because just because something's a 9 and a 3, that might be what you want to do today.
I was
Like what
actually
you
thinking that another step to it could be, and I was sort of thinking the color as well. You could actually color code it depending on the urgency, because there's another
Oh,
process of sort of having like
that's.
how easy is something and how urgent it is. So
Yeah,
the less easy it is.
Beth, my wife, she did that actually, and she the teacher, she did it with colors.
Yeah,
That's
right.
funny for them. That's actually what she did.
So you know. You could have like traffic lights, the green one for those things that are the most important, the orange for the lesser, and the red for the hardest and least important, or something, you know.
Right. But it's so beautiful. I mean, the other thing about it is that it's actually a really beautiful thing. It's a really nice thing to work with. It's all about you and your stuff, and not about the counselors or the coaches' stuff. It's all about you and your stuff and your priorities. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? It's like you look at that and you go, well, what do you want to do first? They know. Like the thing is that everybody knows all this stuff about themselves, but there's nothing in counseling does anything like this. I looked around the theories, I asked my lecturers, is there anything like this? And there doesn't seem to be. Because I came to it from as an artist. When I started, I was like really interested as a visual person looking at the structures of things, like how do systems work. And when I started looking at the developmental stuff, like, you know, the hierarchy of needs, like Maslow. And I thought all the designs were really nice. And I was trying to work out, and then Freud in psychosexually got all the developmental ones. And I thought the frameworks, but I noticed that there was nothing to map out where that fits into life very well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It had all the developmental stuff as like really, you know, that's like a y-axis. And then with this, the map itself is the x-axis, right? Because the y-axis is, so you're using, I could explain it because I've combined so many systems using this, it's like I can explain it from 10 different perspectives. But using Jung's full typology system, he has those four roles, you know, basically, and then he has extroversion and introversion. When you write the ideal number you want to be, just say you want to be at 9, and then you're currently a 5, that's extroverting towards the role, to the potential, towards the future. Whereas it's in a more introverted position, so that the time has worked out. So you extrovert the role just by naming it and doing that. You're extroverting. Extroverting means going towards. Introverting means moving away from. And
Right.
Jung says that they're ultimately defense mechanisms. People, I mean, they've put them into the Big Five system, the personality system, which is sort of like the Myers-Briggs things. But I kind of just think that kind of labels people.
Yeah.
And whereas this actually brings out a fuller expression of what somebody's really saying about themselves.
Yeah, and I suppose having a look at what someone's roles are that they want to, I'm thinking about the Enneagram, having a look at someone's roles that they want to get better at, that would give you a bit of an idea about their personality type as well, without, you know, once again,
That's right,
without
but they.
labeling them.
So it this can be is that there's no critique of those things other than that they don't provide a holistic way of doing it.
Yeah.
And so you could work with Myers-Briggs because it like I designed this as a social structure, and I'd already had body, mind, heart, soul, by like 16 or something. And then I was reading, watching a Jung talking, and he said he had a typology, and I go, oh, I didn't know he had a typology, so I just keyed it in, and there it was. I had body, mind, heart, soul, and it was sensation, thinking, feeling, and intuition, which was a direct match. And I just went, oh, that fits in there perfectly. Because
Beautiful.
when you use standard systems architecture, everything fits together. And so, like, in system theory, you differentiate. So we're differentiating the roles, we're making them all individual, and then the system, you reprioritize, right? And then you integrate them into the system with the new plan. So that's system theory. So every layer of this can be related back. It also uses mandala theory. So, because even though there's four areas, there's actually nine. Like if you look at it, there's one, two, three, four, and then there's one, five that aren't, they're hidden. That's a smaller part of the system. And that system is like a Rubik's, like a magic cube. I don't know if I can say the brand. Rubik's cube, with nine magic cubes that you turn around. And so the x-axis is up. So the top layers are like that. And there's three layers of nine, right? We've got nine. So the past, because we're a mandala like the Kala chakra, right? You see it laid out flat, but it's actually a three-dimensional temple. So it's got three layers. It's got three layers out, and so it's actually like a magic cube. And so it's like so it's actually three dimensional. So and the way that it works, the color means time, color chakra. So it's about time and space. So it's about going from the external cosmos all the way into the internal, not only to the but to the internal. So it's a micro macrocosm system. And it's a time system. And so the time moves up gradually like that, right? So, because in the nine system, you've got the four ones we've outlaid here, but then it goes around in a circle with personal identity, our resources, our hopes and fears about it, and the outcome, which comes from the like Celtic cross in the tarot. And so the moving around is moving upwards like that. Like if it was a cube with three layers, it's moving up like that around the developmental y-axis. And that's how the color chakra works. And Jung says in the psychology of alchemy, that's how movement should move, like a spiral. So it's workable with all types of systems. You use color chakra, personal and persona types. It's an empty mandala, and it uses system theory. And so it's actually matches with most current theories in holistic and all types of healing. So it's something that can be used with other things.
And there's a book called, Susan Jeffers wrote, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway,
Right.
like 30 years ago or something. And one of the things that, just thinking about the three, sixes, nines and that sort of thing, and one of her little
You say three, six,
exercises,
and nine.
one of her exercises was making a, a nine. And then making sure you had nine areas in your life. Because if you
Right.
lose one, then you've got other ones up your sleeve. So she said the average person only has three or four, but if
Oh,
you
things that
don't
they
have
can
some.
keep, that they can keep in their conscious mind at once. Right,
So
yes.
she said one of the ways to be happy is always making sure that you've got like nine areas of your life, and all separate, sort of exactly like what you've done.
I
But
thought that people could hold five at once and not much more than that.
once again, this is about creating consciousness about it.
Right. Oh no, I'm just thinking the theory, because they use that in hypnotism theory, that you can only do so much in the conscious mind, because underneath in the unconscious, I mean, not only ideas and things come from that, but the unconscious also stores all of our automation. Like when you learn to drive, when you're first starting, everything's hard, holding the steering wheel, But once you've learned all that, it's all automatic, and you're listening to the radio and you're talking to someone, you're yelling at someone out the window. But
Until you're our age, and then you turn the volume down so that you can park in the car
that's true,
park.
actually. That has been happening. Oh, I
It's
know. And
Definitely.
but yeah, but the, so the other thing that I wanted to talk about today was the idea of using the metaphor of gardening, plants. I call it narrative gardening. And one of the reasons for that is because things like those automations, which are just say you're a graduate teacher and you're a five, right? You've done a lot of work. You know what I mean, to get there. You've done years of study. And so even though that's a five, if you look at it as a plant growing up, it's, a plant growing, like plants will go through their life cycles, and that, something, a career move, like that it's a bigger tree, right? So it's going to grow and be a seedling, become a sapling. And they did the seedling stuff in primary school. Now they're a teacher. But they become, and then when they're a teacher and doing it, it's like a tree bearing fruit now. Not only grown, but it's starting to bear fruit. It's still a small tree, but and so the idea is using gardening as a metaphor, because a lot of goal setting has nothing to do with much at all other than being ambitious. Whereas a lot of things grow. I was talking to a teacher the other day at my and she was a administrator, and we were talking about it, and I go, well, people grow at the speed of plants. I go, because oh, that's what that's they were talking about. They were grade one kids, and some of the parents were trying to get them to do more homework, like trying to accelerate them. And the problem with that is that kids grow at the speed of plants. And does accelerating them really help? Do you know what I mean? It's like that thing, I just want my, because that's like, I want my kid to be successful. I want him to get good marks. I want him to be the best. And it's like, yeah,
I've got
but
an
what about
example
letting
with
them?
that. I interviewed
Where?
Anita Hafmeister recently, and her daughter, she did homeschooling. There was stuff happening. She moved out bush. She was doing homeschooling. The older daughter was the perfect homeschooling kid, did everything Anita said to her. When it got to the second daughter, she went, "Yeah, I don't think so," and just absolutely refused to be homeschooled by her mother. So Anita had heard about unschooling. So she thought, oh, well, let's just see what happens. So she actually chose to allow, and there was heaps going on the property where they were living. It wasn't like she was being a little lizard in front of the lounge or anything like that. And she did not read or write until she was 10. When she was 10, she decided that she wanted to be able to read and write, and she learnt within 2 weeks. Because
Isn't
her
that
brain was
interesting?
ready, she wanted to. And she had the interest. So, which really, because I, when when
The
she went,
Steiner scales work a bit like that too.
it was really interesting. And I thought, because when I thought, well, how long did it take? And it was like 2 weeks. I'm like, wow, the brain is amazing. What a concept. Anyway, just interesting. So, yeah, but obviously, schooling, I agree. That's a nice analogy. They grow at the speed of trees
They grow
growing.
at the speed of trees, and the lady was the admin, and she just thought it was fantastic, because it's really true. It's like, if you try to make a tree grow faster, you'll over-fertilize it, overwater it, and that's bad for it too. You want everything to be just right,
And you
and
don't want
every
the child to
situation.
become resentful, and hate learning.
Well, there's a famous psychologist, I won't say his name because he's in trouble, but I remember him saying that he goes, and he's counseling for 20 years. He said, you get a lot of clients who come in because they thought their parents were too controlling or trying to force their ideas on them. And he goes, you hardly get anyone who come in and said they got too much freedom or too much choice of, right? And so, is that relating to what you were?
Well, no, this young lady now, she's like 17 or 18, and she's an amazing little human being, incredibly well spoken and thoughtful, and there's nothing non-intelligent about her, given she's never spent a day in school. And she
Well,
really does sound, yeah, very interesting.
school is a lot of things. I mean, school is some people don't have the best parents, and it's good for them to go out with other adults who are
Yeah, create another safe
to
space.
get that's really sometimes as a safe space, sometimes just if your parents work all the time and watch TV, you got to you want to because we can integrate our mentors around us. Because another layer of this is for each role, do you know what I mean, you'll have mentors and they're different mentors in different categories. Like the people that you get advice from for social life are very different for work life, very different for home life, and very different for spiritual life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why the personas are so important. Like, we're a different person. We dress differently when we're at home, when we go out socially, when we go to work, and when we're doing spiritual things. They're
Yeah.
four different costumes. And, so it's like really important to bring those out and like look at how they work, because all this does is it's a persona thing, right? And persona is only the top layer. It's not dealing with the deeper shadow stuff yet. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? It's just making a nice flexible persona so that people can feel as authentic as they can in the world, in all the different paths that they go to.
Yeah, absolutely. And that confidence of having more than one skill, you don't want to be a person who's only good at computers and nothing else. Because what if your computer isn't working? Kids lose their mind when they don't have their computers and their phones at their beck and call.
Yeah, mine
You
do.
know, and how often do you lose electricity? Which I know here in Australia, it only happens like once a year or something like that. But all of a sudden, you don't have electricity and you think, oh, right, okay. Well, let's go have a cup of tea. Oh no, can't do that. Oh, let's go, and all of a sudden you realize how many things are connected to one thing and you have no.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
Any final thoughts, David? I think this is a lovely process that people can go through to really start looking at their life and seeing where they want to go
Right.
exactly. It's a really nice goal setting. Without being in the usual way of goal setting, because it's so.
Well, because the spiritual part, I'd like to maybe say a bit more on, because it's a place to put your values that are overarching. Like, for example, if you want to make an improvement, like I did some roles, I did my own priority roles a little while ago, and so some of them were vocationally related. Like, for example, one of them's to be an acclaimed theorist, right? And so that's just because I've made this, and I've showed it to some very professional healers, and they're like, oh, okay, this is really interesting. It's almost like a new modality. And so just having that goal as an acclaimed theorist, and it's just a position. And then you attach that to the value section, like which value are you using to, to be an acclaimed theorist, I'm going to have to be a really good, like in my roles, I've got theorist, you know what I mean? And narrative gardener is another one of my roles, because the process of doing this I call narrative gardening, because it's like, if you look at it, it's even the shape of a garden, and you go out to these places. And what is Esther Perel, his relationship counselor, she goes, everyone should have a secret garden. And there's so many in psychology, there's so many metaphors in everywhere to plants and gardening. And of course, Jung says in the psychology of alchemy, thinking towards the internal more, the use of the tree is like the tree of life. Do you know what I mean? Like the whole, that's the emblem of the whole Hermetic tradition. And so trees have these positions in all sorts of things, because trees are really amazing things. And they're growing, they're alive, they live with you, and you don't even know that. So to envision an internal garden, right, where our roles are like metaphors for different plants, like you can think, what does that theorist plant look like as a plant? It's like this, if I think about that plant, it's like this abundant plant that, like it's been growing for a long time, because in a role like that, you've developed to even do what I did, make that, you've got to develop some expertise to even think, oh, how will a and so it's like this is a tree that's grown over time. It's coming out now, it's fruiting, do you know what I mean? And it's like the culmination of 50 years of education.
Yeah.
And so that tree is like a really beautiful, abundant tree. The role of being a saying a claim, that's the goal. I'm
Yes.
not that yet. I want to be a nine, and I'm probably a six at this stage. And so I'm like, do you know what I mean? So I'm like looking at that and you go, So as soon as I think in a claim theorist, what would I be doing? Well, I'll be talking to people. Do you know what I mean? What would that be like? You can immediately get a future picture of what that might feel like. And then after doing that, you go, what is the main thing? Well, I'm terrified. You know what I mean? Like, because fear stops people from acting all the time. And like you said before, you quoted a lady, because Jung said the same thing. Our fear is the next task. Our fear outlines the next task. And so, because fear is a good thing, it's like, it's the
Protects
way
us.
that we never,
It protects
it,
us.
yeah, it protects us.
But it can also be our worst enemy as well if we're fearful of living our best life. With,
It
you know,
keeps
and if
people in
something is on
depression
our
and
mind all
anxiety.
the time, like if you're saying, I want to be an acclaimed theorist, and you're not doing anything towards that, whereas you are. Whereas if you weren't doing anything because you were terrified of putting yourself out there, terrified of writing it down, terrified of discussing it with other people, you're not going to get anywhere. So you're obviously already a five or a six, or you're already, like you say, you're at least halfway there because
Right, and
you're
so then we've
already
got,
doing all of that.
so part of it is gardening, right? And so gardening is about nurturing. Do you know what I mean? And gardening has all of these beautiful things like the fresh air, the water, like people meditate and they make their own secret gardens internally. I do. I've got a whole garden with a river and everything, goes a little creek, and it's all, everything's there, and it's the same every time I go back to it. And so I call it narrative gardening, because it's narrative that these are all stories. So narrative gardening, so it's just like having them, seeing them as plants in a sense, is just, a little garden. You've got borders, like, for example, it's four sections. You've got borders, you've got things to go out to. It's just like a nice way of meditating. But narrative, they're also all little stories, and they're characters that we play, and it gives you the control back as the narrator, and being aware of all your little stories. Because a lot of people, so back to Michael Marning, he says that really, a lot of people, the main part of their lives is their story. And I started to think that, I identify as a story. No, really, I'm serious. It's like it made me start to wonder that if the soul, the deeper part of the soul, was actually the story itself, and that we're transitioning from a material story to a spiritual story. Right, so it's like a so the narrative aspect, and that is that, so in the Vedic concept, when they describe personalities, they go same as this: name, form, qualities, and story. Right, because they call it pastimes is the word they use, but name, form, quality, story, which is what this does. Because ultimately, story might be the thing in me that's the soul. It might be my story. That might be the thing that carries through. Like, what's the soul? Everyone argues, all the religions say different things, and it's like, yeah, but they're all stories, and it's your story. That story is something that you can work with, like a role. You divide it, you can change one role, you can work on that, do it really quickly. But also, we can change our story. In narrative therapy, it's called reauthoring. So this is also a process of reauthoring our stories and taking control back as the narrator, and looking and going, look at my little stories. Right, I want this one to be a better story. I'm not a fun person. And so that's a pretty, so just say I've become, because something that happens, me, like a lot of other parents, you're working and parenting and you sort of lose your fun edge. And so it's like, and that's not a very good story. Or I'm not being creative. That's not a very good, once I start being creative, now I like telling my story again. Because we want to have a story that we want to tell, and not an inauthentic story, the genuine thing.
And
Not
people
just
might
fitting
be
in. It's
focused on one thing going wrong. So they might need to change their job because of A, B, C, D, E, bullying or lack of excitement, whatever. So they might
sure,
need to change their job, but because they're so focused on that, they're not paying attention to anything else. So by
and so
adding in all these
Adam.
other good things in their world again that they've forgotten because they've been so focused on one thing, it's going to allow their conscious brain to be more open and awake and aware to other possibilities out there as well, I
So
suspect.
seeing in that in the context of a garden, right? So So the whole idea of now, like we're building a garden. Do you know what I mean? Who knows? Everyone does it differently, but so some plants, like if you look at them in the numbers between them, some plants need more attention. Do you know what I mean? Some are right just the way they are. They just need to be watered regularly, but some plants need to be removed.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, and in your garden, sometimes you just get rid of some trees because they're causing a problem. And so some roles you might want to delete because it's so flexible. You can also have fantasy roles. Like problem roles are a big part of it, but fantasy roles are things we haven't started yet, and something you dream, a dream role. Like for example, if you're doing this with teenagers, a lot of their roles are dream roles because they're not allowed to do anything yet. They're allowed to know about it. They're like, because I've got a 16-year-old. Yeah, they're allowed to know about sex. They're allowed to know about drinking. They're allowed to know in detail about everything, but they're not allowed to do it yet. Right? So a lot of things that when you work out an adolescence thing, because they just want to fill the day in neurobiologically. They get a double dopamine hit for novelty, so they're entertained easily if you can get them to do the things. And they just want to fill the day in, but they're still in a stage where they're not actually being their full selves yet, because a lot of their roles are future of going to uni, getting a partner, all sorts of things. They're like, some people get them now, but a lot of are in the future when you're a teenager, and some things you're trying, we're doing a little bit of.
Teenagers are going to need so much support being grounded and secure moving forward. There's bizarre laws being passed
They
around
need
the world.
their own little gardens that they can work on.
So every parent needs to know this. People need to really be able to share this and understand it and know it so that they can support all the little humans in their life as well.
Well, my son's 16 and he does this and he's doing very well in all of his areas and he's very keenly aware of it and he's like reaching goals in a really beautiful way. And it's interesting to see a teenager working on it. And because it's really functional, because you could do a it's like if you've got a roll out of balance, like just say people have never thought much about something spiritual and they want to do it, it creates a section for it. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's okay to never try something before. You can try things anytime. You can always learn something new.